Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Taking a much needed break from politics today. Not that there isn't plenty going on, but this is also a show about the Bible. In my many years of visiting universities as an apologetic speaker and debater, I have found that there are really only a handful of questions ever shot forth by students. Now, certainly many tangents come up in religious conversations, but the variations stem from very few objections, and you will find that the same questions pop up over and over again. Actually, the questions are fair and painfully honest. For everyone asked in a pompous way, there is always another asked with sincerity. But all too often, Christians shy away from such scrutiny, feeling defensive or under the gun. But I want to ask you, my friends, is there really a need for all this paranoia? After all, if only a few questions are being asked, and if good answers really are out there, we should welcome the opportunity to share. Remember, Christians are telling people that their view of the world is the true view of the world, or God's view of the world. It would not be fair to make such statements without backing them up. But it's not enough to simply welcome questions. Indeed, I would like to see Christians get in the habit of raising their own questions, challenging skeptics to reconsider their own worldviews. You see, everybody has a worldview, whether they admit it or not. If people are religious, that religion affects their values. If somebody subscribes to a certain philosophy like rationalism, humanism, communism, or socialism, that too is a worldview. And it isn't always quite so obvious. Many of my atheist friends proudly brag about how they have removed unnecessary beliefs from their lives. But the truth is, atheism is very much a worldview. Some even call it a religious worldview because it makes ultimate statements about reality, supported only by faith, faith that life is filled with randomness and chance, faith that moral absolutes do not really exist, but are rather the inventions of some accidental creatures who just happen to evolve by a luck of the draw. Such viewpoints affect the way they look at ethics, politics, and life itself. Many philosophies sound so intellectual that you may feel unqualified to confront them without being a scholar of some sort. But my friends, anyone can ask questions. Just ask questions. Simple questions, even about a subject totally unfamiliar to you. Rest assured, most of the people asking you to defend the Bible know absolutely nothing about the Bible. They may have gone to some website. They may think they know some things about the Bible. They may have a vague recollection of their experience at church. But a lot of them, and there are exceptions, a lot of them really don't know what they're talking about. So it works both ways. Allow me to introduce three very simple but very effective questions. When you use them, you will find yourself doing what I always do, making the obvious obvious. You will literally see your friend's worldview unravel right before your eyes. In fact, it could happen so quickly and so effectively that you may need to pay special attention to your tone and manner just to make sure this surgery is done with gentleness. Remember, you had the same questions yourself one time. Remember, you made the same kinds of statements about Christianity yourself one time. Now, these questions I'm about to share with you, I can't take credit for them. They've been used by Christian apologists for years. In fact, they are very ancient, and they even predate Christianity itself. They are called the three questions of Socrates or the Socratic method. Question one, what do you mean? Now, when we read Socrates' dialogues preserved for us by Plato, at some point he was always asking one of these three questions I'm about to share. The first one, what do you mean? Most people tend to repeat popular ideas that they've heard without taking the time to really think about their meaning. But a nice sounding phrase can crack to pieces under the light of scrutiny. For example, much as people enjoy saying that all religions basically teach the same thing, the truth is two different people can use the same term, God, and mean completely different things by the term. When Christians use the word God, they mean the God of the universe, a thinking, feeling entity who created the universe, who holds each of us accountable. But there's a much different and very popular idea of God, the notion that God and the universe are actually the same thing. In other words, God is everything. This idea, commonly called pantheism, is gaining quite a following in modern religious thought, what's commonly called New Age thought, even though there's really nothing new about it. Its roots go back to certain sects of ancient Hinduism. A Christian says that God made that tree. A pantheist says that God is the tree. We couldn't possibly have two more distinctly opposite views of God. Now, equating God with nature may sound nice. Well, it's not that God made the forest. God is the forest. It's not that God made the sunset. God is the sunset. It's not that God made the weather. God is the weather. He's the rain, the lightning, the thunder. He's the crystal clear water which pours over every smooth stone in the bonny brook. Doesn't that sound nice? It's almost poetic. Here's the problem. When we say that God is everything, we must admit that everything is a pretty big word. Everything includes, well, everything. When somebody tells me that God is everything, I reply, well, you mean I'm God? You're God? Is my wristwatch God? Am I wearing God on my wrist? When I eat a hamburger, am I eating God? When I have my morning coffee, am I drinking God? When I empty the wastebasket, am I tossing God in the trash can? If I walk down the street and step into somebody's discarded gum, am I scraping God off my shoe? And at this time I hear, oh, no. I don't mean that all those things are God. You don't? Well, are those things part of God? No. Oh, I see. Okay, well then, when you say that God is everything, what do you mean? And they will make the horrifying discovery that they had no idea what they meant. It just sounded good. Here's a common statement. I believe in the teachings of Jesus, but I don't believe in organized religion. Sound familiar? If everyone lived a life like Jesus, the world would be a better place, of course. But all this nonsense about going to church, evangelizing, telling people to accept Christ, well, I have a problem with that. And I always say, well, what do you mean? Do you mean you've studied the teachings of Jesus? My friends, 9 out of 10 times, I can guarantee you they don't mean that. There's always exceptions to all of this, but I'm talking in generalities. 9 out of 10 times, they don't mean that. They have not studied the teachings of Jesus. I go on, I said, well, do you mean Jesus never taught anything about organizing a church? Jesus didn't command us to preach the gospel? Actually, Jesus did all those things. You see, the very things people complain about are the teachings of Jesus, and yet they're claiming to believe in his teachings. What do you mean? That is the first of our 3 questions. The next one is similar in its simplicity. How do you know? And we will examine that question next time on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.